T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This hour is being brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto, online at CarX.com.
Russell Dorsey, national MLB insider for Bally Sports and Stadium.
President Jed Hoyer always talks about, you know, who's going to be a part of that next great Cubs team. They think Seiya Suzuki is going to be a big part of that.
A guy who is really turned into a stud and could likely be an MVP candidate, Luis Robert, has all the tools, the power, the speed.
Host of the Rally on Bally Sports.
If you could ban something from sports for 10 years, what would it be?
I would say the wave. It's a bit too much.
Co-host of the Sports Adjacent Podcast.
I don't let it get to that point where I have 1,000 unread emails.
I have 277 right now.
You have bodies in your house, bro.
Russell Dorsey.
What's up, Russ?
With Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Russ Dorsey works for Bally Sports. He does the Sports Adjacent Podcast. You can watch him on the Stadium app. He's a good friend of ours. He's nice
also
enough to
Bally.
Join us. Yeah, another another part of the Bally Army. Just had Maggie Hendricks on there. They're taking over one city at a time. That's what I heard.
I think that's true. They also started with half of this town, I'm pretty sure.
It's pretty much the case. Hey, Russ!
Russ!
What's going on, guys? How are you?
We are excellent, and Eloy Jimenez is back in the lineup for your Chicago White Sox. So, what does this mean when you look at the White Sox lineup and you see four DHs and not having a trying to figure out an outfield that now has Robert in center and him having to patrol left and right center because Eloy's on one side of him and Gavin Sheets is on the other?
Yeah, like, listen, man, you've known my thoughts about the White Sox for a couple weeks now, and this feels like their last chance to not win the AL Central, because I don't think that they're in the cards for that, but to at least make the old run at the wild card, you need to have elite performance from a lot of guys over the next 2 weeks, not even the rest of the season. Over the next 2 weeks, you need to have guys stepping on the gas, because where they're positioned right now, it's not great. Like, you can't have below league average performance from guys. Like, you need all-star level performance to keep this team in any type of race before the trade deadline.
I think that is a really good way to put it. I think it's something that I tried to parse out a few weeks ago, because this is an expanded playoff, but that doesn't mean that the AL Central is part of that expansion. Now, when you consider Yankees, Red Sox moved up in the standings, you've got the Rays, those are the top three teams. Theoretically, four could come out of the AL East when you count in the Blue Jays. Then you're talking about the division winner having to be the likely wild card in the Central, and that leaves the West, and we all know the Astros have that in hand. They've won 9 of their last 10, for goodness sake.
Yeah, like, you explained the AL East, and that's their reality. Like, they're not going to be good enough to take one of those spots from Boston, the Rays, Toronto, right? So you're going to have to win the AL Central. Like, that is their realistic path. But they can't beat the Guardians and they can't beat the Twins, right? So, like, it's going to be very tough to win the AL Central without beating those teams. And, you know, from what we've seen, and I talked about this with you guys last week when Dan was on and weeks before that, it's just like there are too many times where you look at the White Sox, you turn them on, it's like, this isn't a good baseball team. Not only are they not a good baseball team, it's like they don't even play good baseball. So how can you become a good baseball team when you don't do the little things that good baseball teams do.
What was your reaction when you saw the 8-5 triple play?
It was just that, Lawrence. It was the fact that, like, I even tweeted, like, bad teams run the bases that way, right? Like, they can't afford, with the way that they've played in the first half, they can't afford to have mistakes like that where you have runners on first and second base with no outs, a chance to really break a game open, put some runs on the board. And I think the most frustrating part for me is they see Byron Buxton more than other teams, right? He's in the division. He's the best center fielder in baseball. He's going to get to 99% of balls hit his way. Like, it's like having Luis Robert out there. Like, if it's in the air, he's going to get to it. So the fact that you had two base runners, Adam Engel, a guy who has enough speed, if he doesn't catch that ball, he can score from second base. But just the unawareness on the bases from both Engel and Moncada, I think there's questions about Joe McEwing and directing guys on the bases there. There was a lot wrong. And it's one of those situations, if you're a White Sox fan out there, you're sitting at home shaking your head like, this is exactly why I can't get excited about this team.
I think that's an excellent way of putting it. And there are some bright spots, Lawrence and I have discussed, at least with what's going on very recently with the Cubs. They take on a Red Sox team, and I think impressed for what the standard is for them currently. But more importantly, Seiya Suzuki comes in, and in two games off of the injured list, produces an inside-the-park home run, a home run that just goes fair, which was a nice piece of hitting. Then, during his at-bat, the Cubs pull off a double steal and home plate's involved.
That's why you go and sign that guy, right? Like, you knew what type of dynamic player he was. You saw in the first month of the season why so many teams wanted him. And obviously the injury set him back and set the Cubs back. Because it's like, look, we weren't going to be contending in the NL Central this year, but this guy is a guy we think is going to be a part of our future. Not having that guy in the lineup, now it's like, Chris Morel's over here. But getting Seiya Suzuki back in the lineup and hitting well, if you're looking towards the future as a Cubs fan, it's like, okay, maybe we get a free agent. Maybe we have Brennan Davis in the lineup next year. We have Seiya Suzuki. There's a path to getting back to being a relevant baseball team. But having that guy healthy in the lineup producing is a really important part of that.
Kyle Hendricks goes on the IL today. He's been bothered by some shoulder soreness. How big of a deal is this for him and for the Cubs? Because theoretically, you could look at Kyle Hendricks as being someone that you might trade.
You could. I think Kyle's always been a guy that, one of those rubber arm guys. He goes to the post every fifth day. You look up at the end of the season, he's going to have 30 starts and have over 180 innings pitched. In terms of the trade market, he wasn't performing that well. And he hasn't looked like the Kyle Hendricks that we've gotten used to seeing the last couple of years or so. Now, if you ask Kyle about it, pitching for a team that has nothing to play for in terms of, you know, a playoff spot shouldn't mean that he shouldn't go out there and perform. However, it's human nature to take your foot off the gas, and I'm not saying he's doing it, but it's like, you're for the first time in his career last season, he pitched for a team that wasn't competing for a playoff spot. I think that could be tough for any player. And so look at Juan Soto up in DC with the Nationals. Like, this is a guy who, to me, is the best hitter in baseball. And you look at the numbers, you're like, is this the best player in baseball? Yeah, but he's around a lineup that doesn't give him any protection. And when you try to do things by yourself, sometimes you can see those numbers dip. So I think Kyle can still be a productive pitcher in the big leagues. The shoulder injury obviously hurts the Cubs if he was on the market, but because of the production or lack thereof this season, I don't necessarily know what Kyle's market would have been anyway. But being 2.5 weeks out from the deadline, it's likely not good.
I find that interesting because I think given his contract too, that mm-hmm. would be attractive for candidates who say, maybe it's not this year, but the next year, and that's what we're planning for. We've seen that. I would argue you saw it with the Rangers and Cole Hamels a few years ago. There are teams who will make the move for the next year, not so much the current one.
Sure. But I also think if you wanted to keep Kyle Hendricks for that same reason, like, he's not necessarily breaking the bank as far as starting pitching numbers go. He's a guy that's great in the room. Young guys always ask Kyle Hendricks questions, and he's one of the brightest baseball players you'll meet. So I think it is important to have some of those guys around. Like, look, you can't trade everybody away and have young guys learning by themselves. You do need somebody who I think is a good bridge from Cubs past to Cubs future, but also can still produce at a high level when he's healthy and when he has guys around him that, you know, look what Wilson Contreras has done with some of these young guys around him that he's kind of helped mentor along the way. You've seen a different side of Wilson Contreras, and maybe a guy who might want to stay around for this next phase of Cubs baseball.
Well, that was the next thing that I wanted to talk to you about. We asked Ian Happ about it when he was on the show yesterday about what it's like to play under that cloud. Wilson Contreras, what type of market are we talking about for him? What type of market are we talking about for Ian Happ?
I think Ian might be the more intriguing name just by you can slot a corner outfielder on a lot of different contending teams, and he's a guy that's really swung a bat well from the right side. And I talked to Ian last year about it because he wasn't swinging the bat well from the right side. And he told me that when he was at Cincinnati, they wanted him to scrap hitting left-handed and just hit right-handed because he was a better hitter at that point in his life and his career. And obviously he ended up being a much better left-handed hitter, but he was always a guy that said, look, if I get enough ABs in the big leagues to do this, I think I could be really good at it. And he has been this year, which only helps his stock because it's like, okay, this is not just a guy that you're going to bring into platoon. This is a guy that can hit from both sides of the plate and do it well. And, you know, he's been above average defensively, runs the bases well. Like, that's a guy that you can see on a contender. With Contreras, obviously the bigger name, but I think it's harder to slot in a catcher in the middle of a season, have him learn a pitching staff. Obviously the bat's there, right? He's the best offensive catcher in the big leagues. I just don't know if there's a ton of contenders that necessarily need an all-star catcher. If you look at, you know, obviously the Yankees and what Jose Trevino's done up there for them. You look at Boston, what they have with Christian Vasquez, with Alejandro Kirk, what he's doing up in Toronto. You look at all the teams that are contending, there's not really a team that necessarily needs a catcher. Maybe the Houston Astros, but they love Martin Maldonado down there and what he does for their pitching staff. But that's a guy who can, look, if you want Wilson in the DH and you have Martin Maldonado behind the plate, cool. I think the other team would be the New York Mets. If the Mets are the type of team that can afford to pay Wilson and haven't had a ton of production behind the plate. But same thing applies with, now you have Max Scherzer, you have Jacob deGrom and all these guys up there. Like, how quickly can a catcher adjust to a new rotation?
I am still surprised that it took until last night for us to talk about Chris Bryant hitting a home run at Coors Field. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I think, look, KB had some difficulties with injuries in this first part of the season. And when you're talking about backs, for anybody, that can sap power out of guys. So I think KB obviously feeling good, hitting the ball at nighttime in L.A. to the deepest part of the ballpark. That has to be a good sign if you're the Rockies. And, you know, the prospects of KB having a healthy second half. But, yeah, I wouldn't look too much into it beyond the fact that this is a guy that's had some issues with the back early on this season and hasn't necessarily had a lot of time to get himself in a rhythm. So I would expect the ball to be flying out a little bit more as KB gets healthy in the second half.
We brought it up a little bit yesterday. It's hard to even talk about it this way because of the way that the White Sox season, like what you were expecting for it, but do they have to start considering trading off some of their parts for us?
You're not necessarily doing your job as an executive if you're not thinking about it, right? And I imagine that's why this next 10 to 14 days is so important. I say all the time, being self-aware is the most important skill an executive can have, because it could get really easy, especially with expanded postseason, to be like, yeah, we're still in it. We're still in it. We're only in a game and a half or two, three games out of the second wild card spot. But at the same time, are you really that good? Are you a playoff team? And you got to be honest. And sometimes those conversations hurt, because, look, you thought you were going to build this team to be a World Series contender. There were a lot of people that picked the White Sox to go to the World Series this year. Rick Hahn talked about it all the time. Like, we're trying to set ourselves up for multiple championships. And when you're in the middle of your what you thought is your window and you don't play like that, it's tough. But at the same time, all right, look, you have to prepare for the future. And I don't think they would do it, but I would consider looking at Jose Abreu and be like, look, we owe it to you to put you on a contender. There's some teams out there that would love to have a bat like Jose Abreu that's really come on strong the last 30 days or so. Look, Liam Hendricks, like, that's a guy that could help a World Series contender out a ton. So, yeah, I'm with you there. You got to at least think about it. And I think what their path is becomes much clearer after the series between the Twins and the Guardians.
So the White Sox have a 38-41 record, Russ. The Baltimore Orioles are 38-44. And I am as surprised to see that we might be finally turning a corner with them when we've been used to them being so bad for so long. And is this me also trying to excuse their performance against the White Sox? Maybe, but it's starting to all come together a little bit more.
No, I think the Orioles have been a fun team to watch in terms of, look, when you go through a rebuild, this is that next stage. Like, you go from A to B, and now you're getting close to that end of that A to B and starting to get towards B to C, right? Like, you're improving. You just want to build a culture. You want to bring some of these young players to the big leagues. They had a guy in Cedric Mullins who's a stud, all-star last year. Austin Hayes has been fantastic for them in their outfield. That gives you two outfielders that are really good. Anthony Santander is probably the best outfielder that people don't know about playing for the Orioles. And then you still have a guy like Trey Mancini who's been there for a long time, and you bring Adley Rutschman to the big leagues, who people think is going to be the next great catcher in Major League Baseball. Like, you start to see those pieces get put together, and when you get some of those things to start to go right, you're going to naturally start playing baseball better. They play pretty good baseball. They have 7 walk-off wins this season. They're fun, right? They might not be a world beater in the AL East, but they're fun. And you could tell that's a team that goes out there on a nightly basis and really wants to win games, even though they're not going to go out and win 100 games this season. But if you're looking for improvement, if you're an Orioles fan, you're seeing it with how this team plays baseball.
Yeah, I mean, it's the next steps as we're living that are a little more tricky, but just something interesting I noticed.
Yeah, those next steps are really rough when you think you're a championship-ready team. Russ, Russ, go to work. We know you got to get ready to be on over at Stadium and Bally's. We appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Russ.
That's Russ Dorsey, he of Bally and Stadium, and the next episode of Sports Adjacent will be out on Friday. I have no idea what the boys are going to do.
They
don't either, but I can tell you that the last episode was so damn entertaining. They're really good. They are really good.
And bug them again.
Yeah, they
been
like
a few
having
months
you
since
on.
I've been on.
They like when you get to come and hang out with them, and Tony and all of his craziness ends up being on the show. We are talking a lot of White Sox. Have you listened to Shane's White Sox podcast that he does with Gabe?
I listened to Shane's White Sox podcast they did with Rick Hahn.
Well, that was his whiskey
Bourbon
podcast or whatever. This is the South Siders, the official hub for all things Chicago White Sox. Can we say official?
I don't know.
It's fine. It's Shane. It's Gabe. Wherever you get your podcast, check out the podcast. It's called South Siders, and they break it down. They tell you all sorts of stuff. Sometimes they tell you stuff that you don't even know about what's going on with it. I couldn't figure out why Joe Stone Crab brought us fried chicken today.
And key lime pie.
Yes, you got to work on the key lime pie.
I've had a few bites.
Before your workout.
Yeah, I got to eat it soon because I got to work out soon. And I can't, I don't like working out on a full stomach.
I'm with you on that. It's National Fried Chicken Day.
Oh.
Yeah. That's why Joe Stonecrab brought us fried chicken, brought the crew some fried chicken. It is the secret hidden gem on the menu. Like, you go there and be like, oh, I'm going to get some lobster, or I'm going to get some stone crab, or I'm going to get a great steak.
Scallops.
Get some scallops. You could also, is it Jenny's potatoes? Oh, love those. The sides are really good.
Spinach, so good.
All you got to do is go to Joe Stonecrab and say, I want some of that chicken, yo.
It's so good.
And say it like that when you go there. And then they'll bring it to you. And it tastes great.
You have to pay for it.
Yeah, right. That's the Layla, that is a very important part of this. When you go to Joe Stonecrab, you do have to pay for the food that they bring.
The way you made it sound, it was just like, Lawrence is going to walk in. I would like some chicken. And then we all just walk out.
And then we all
here's
like,
your chicken.
Yay! I mean, that's how we were when they walked in today. When they walked in, we were like, yes, this is chicken. And it's fantastic.
We could smell it like through the studio door.
So good.
Yep.
So that's why. I was like, why did they... I was like, do they just like us? Because that would have been awesome too.
Do they know that we're not going to have a lot of Victory Monday?
Yeah. They're getting all of the chicken drops out of the way now because they know that there's not going to be any Victory Mondays coming up. And they were probably just waiting. We'll wait until there's a big win for the White Sox against the Twins. Nope. Let's just take them the chicken anyway.
I love that so much. I decided to post the White Sox and Orioles records on the Twitter.
Go over for you?
Well, I just brought up facts without presenting any opinion, and it's already got a lot of people in their feels, so we'll see how this goes.
If you ask the question of who would you rather be right now?
Oh, dear.
Well, the answer is probably still the White Sox because of that division.
No, I'd still rather be the White Sox. Like, this is it. This is what makes it hard. The A to B part of the rebuild, there's hope, and you know the expectations aren't as high. But then when it starts getting real high, that's when it gets tricky.
Meanwhile, the Cubs are going for their fourth series win in a row.
That's kind of what I was trying to say.
That's good. I mean, you're trying to find your joy wherever you can find it with the Cubs and with Wilson having a hamstring thing and then Kyle goes on the IL.
The Kyle thing is concerning.
It's very concerning. Whenever you hear about a pitcher going on with shoulder stuff.
Yeah, that's scary.
It's concerning. Here's their lineup for today. Ortega's in left. Horner, we didn't even do like our Nico Horner stuff.
Still incredibly good.
Nico Horner's hitting .307.
And his defensive metrics are also outstanding.
Ian Happ is your DH today. A lot of White Sox fans are like, you know who'd look good in a White Sox uniform?
Also, my crazy trade idea last year for Wilson Contreras doesn't sound so crazy anymore, does it?
Ian Happ and Wilson Contreras. Ian Happ's your DH. He's batting third. Patrick Wisdom, who's got 17 bombs this year.
17, you say?
17.
It's 10 more than...
Patrick Wisdom is 45 RBIs.
The team facing the Twins.
Yeah, he will bat fourth today. Nelson Velasquez, congratulations on his first home run. He will bat fifth and play right field. Revis will be at first base. PJ Higgins will catch. Christopher Morel, still doing his thing, will bat eighth and play center field. Andrelton Simmons will bat ninth and play second base. Adrian Sampson will pitch for the Cubs, and it'll be Corbin Burns versus the Cubs today. So they'll be going up against a tough competitor and a strikeout king in Corbin Burns.
But they've beaten him before this season. And by the way, this thanks to Eric, Andy Costable just reporting from the Sun Times, Allie Quigley gonna be part of the three-point contest.
I love hearing that. Go to Paul.
Yay.
Yeah, man. Big thanks to everyone involved in today's show. Thanks to our guests, Russ Dorsey, Maggie Hendricks, Mike Florio. Thanks to the production staff. They've done a great job of taking care of Layla and I with Dan being out of the house and
thanks,
on the
guys.
Road. So big thanks to Ray and Mike Rankin for all of their hard work. Tomorrow, Layla's going to be doing her thing, doing the TV thing.
Actually, no, I'm off.
You're off?
I'm off both jobs. That's why I didn't want to work tomorrow.
More key lime pie.
Because I didn't want to work tomorrow. You see how that works?
Yes. You need to, it's going to get harder though. Like, and you need to be someone who.
I'm going to have a reward for my hard work, and then I'm going to adjust my goals because then I'll feel like I've achieved that, and then I want to reward myself again for more hard work.
Grody's in the building with me tomorrow and Friday. Cubs baseball is next. See you tomorrow.
Whoop.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.